Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to just kind of touch on this again a little bit today. We've been talking for the last few weeks on the power of the seed, and I want to just add a little thing and maybe conclude here today. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How are we born again? It says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I just have to stop here. You know, these stories come up in my thinking about being led by the Spirit of God, the inward witness. I remember when I first got born again, I was driving through a parking lot going somewhere, and I was driving through this parking lot, and as I'm driving my car, I mean, it's an empty parking lot. It was a big shopping center down in Jersey, and I'm driving through the park, and I was getting this, and I'm looking around like, what the heck? Out of nowhere, some car went, bam, hit me right on the side. Inward witness, inward witness, inward witness. I should have stopped. And I just kept getting this troubling in my spirit. And that's why I say these things have just learned. That's what I'm saying. Have I always hit it? No, I've missed sometimes or overlooked or ignored is a better way. Ignored these inner promptings, these inner witnesses. Stop, slow down. Hey, red light. That's what Brother Hagin always used to say. Red light, green light. If you're getting a check or this trouble, look up, look around. What? I remember coming up here one Friday night for Bible study. I just had this inner witness I shouldn't go, and I ignored it. I said, no. You know how you say, no, I got to go. It's Bible study. I got to go. And I felt good driving up. I fell asleep in the car coming back at 65 miles an hour. He was trying to warn me, don't go, because I'm going to know you're going to fall asleep. Don't go. And I ignored it. No, I didn't hear him say that, but it was just like, I should stay. And I just ignored that witness, because you just feel, I need to go. No, I didn't need to go. And that's why I'm saying sometimes, even Brother Hagin knew, when you read some of his writings, he would say, with his family, he said, they're saying they were going on a trip, and they're saying, oh no, we got to go at this time. He said, let's not get on the road yet. No, let's not get on the road yet. He had an inner witness not to get going. And then he said, in his writing, he said, okay, now we can go. Let's go. And he said, if he had left when he did, they would have been right in the middle of an accident with a tractor trailer, because they ran into it. That's what I mean. This and being born again affords us that. We have the witness because we've believed on the Son of God. We have his life in us. So we've been talking about the seed, and Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways. This is Isaiah 55:9. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So now he connects the relationship between what he was just talking about to his word. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So you can see here, he was talking about in verse 10, just as the rain cometh down from heaven, and it does what? Watereth the earth, it doesn't return back, so that it may give seed to the sower. He said, my word is the same way. You got to plant it, it needs to be watered, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when something is void, when he says, it shall not return void, that means it's ineffectual. It's not effective. He's saying it is effective. So the seed, and this is the thing that the devil knows, he tries to get us to tear up the seed that's been planted in your heart. He tries to get you to tear it up because he knows the seed will produce. Because God said, it won't return void unto me. It will produce. It will produce. That's why he tries to get us to walk out of love. Because he knows if we do, if we operate according to the word of God, it'll produce the results. It will produce the results. So let's, in Romans 10:9, so when we look at this, 10:9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when you look at something, he doesn't say we believeth unto salvation. He said we believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can see a harvest here. The principle is you got to believe something in your heart and then do what? Confess it with your mouth. So this is the way you plant seed, or you say produce a harvest. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, you meditate on the word of God and you obey it and speak it. God will lead you. By his spirit, he'll lead you to have what? Good success. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on today, let's go over to Matthew 17 and verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And we're talking about seed, and I may touch on the parable of the sower because we've spent a lot of time on that. You can get the CDs in the lobby. We'll go back through that, or you can listen online. But looking at Matthew 17 and verse 14, it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus did what? He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now you would think at that point, you know, I'd give the disciples a pass if this was, you know, something they didn't know. They thought, well, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? Well, you would think all that Jesus had done up to that point, if someone brought them to the disciples, then Jesus already knew the disciples had been given something to handle it. Right? And so Jesus said here, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He didn't say, because you didn't have the power to do it, or the ability to do it, because Jesus spoke the truth. You would think at that point, if he hadn't given them something that they needed, he would have said so right here. How come we can't do this? And Jesus would have said, I missed it. I'm so sorry. I forgot to give you the power to do that. But he didn't say that. He said, because of your what? Your unbelief, which means he must have spoken something to them prior to this, and they didn't believe it. Wouldn't that be the case? If I said to you, you unbeliever, well, then that means I told you something and you didn't believe it. That's what he said here. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall do what? Say. Believe in the heart, say with your mouth. That's what we just got done reading, Romans 10. So he must have told them something, and they didn't believe it, and they didn't say it. Because he said if you had faith or confidence or assurance, faith is what? Something that you read in the will of God, or the word of God is the will of God. Something you read and you go, gee, I don't know. Well, then maybe you don't believe. So he must have spoken something to them. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Now, let's back up to Matthew 10 and see where Jesus gave them that authority. We were in Matthew 17. Look at Matthew 10 and see. First verse. Matthew 10. And it says, and when he had called unto him who? His 12 disciples. He did what? He gave them power. That word power there is actually authority. He gave them authority against unclean spirits, the one that they couldn't cast out. He gave them authority over them to do what? Cast them out and to heal what? All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And he does what? Now he goes on and he names all the disciples, the 12 disciples, of whom also was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So now when you see the devil came into Judas to betray Jesus, he had the authority at that point. He'd say, get out of my presence. He had the power to command the devil to leave his presence. So here you can see Jesus gave the disciples authority to cast out demons and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And now that man who had a lunatic child sent came and said, here, deal with this. And they said, we can't. And that's when he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, be thou removed to this obstacle. Command those demons to leave, which is what Jesus said. Oh, faithless, that means no faith, and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? So think about this just for a moment. You're in Matthew. Go to Matthew 28 for a second. Let's look at today. Let's take it out of that time frame and let's look at it in the New Testament, which we're in, but look at it in this dispensation. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Who did he give that to? He's given that to all of us. Matthew 28 and verse 18, and it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, these are the 11 disciples, and he said, all power is given unto me, that means all authority, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Now go to Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 15. And this is after he appeared to the 11. And it says here, I like to say he gave them the business. He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What's 17 say? And these signs shall follow just me. No. It says these signs shall follow them that do what? Believe. In my name shall they do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's his charge before he ascended into heaven. So you could look at that and look at that the same as the disciples when that man brought his lunatic son. Jesus had given them the power to deal with the problems when he wasn't there. He conferred upon them the authority that he had to do that. And so today, we cannot go to the Father and say, help me, please help me, help me. And he said, you have the witness and the authority to deal with it. And Jesus is waiting for us. That's not to say, now let's not get in the ditch also, let's not to say that you can't get into agreement with somebody. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask for prayer. But when you're dealing with life and situations in life, he's given each one of us authority and the anointing, and he's conferred upon the church the authority from heaven to speak to things and command them to change. He's given us that authority to do that. And so, if you're a new Christian or you're a baby Christian, you may not know that. But if you are somebody that's being taught, Jesus said, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick. And he said, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to handle these things. I mean, I've seen it. I've doesn't mean that you might not have your you might be shaking in your boots the first time you experience it, But I can tell you, he's spoken to me through the years to deal with situations where somebody was being oppressed by demons. I've seen a change instantly. It's not your power. We just had three ladies come back from the Philippines. These aren't people that stand behind the pulpit. These are people that went over there to help in missions work. And when they go into these poor villages, they go and pray with people, and they said they felt tumors just go under their hand. They're like, well, it wasn't their power. It's the power that's been conferred upon the church. And so we've been given that authority. Amen? Glory to God. So we walk in it. So Jesus had a lot to say about this. It's the same today. We've been granted authority and dominion. So Luke, let's jump over to Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 5, which is a similar and said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know, it sounds very spiritual. But, you know, what did Jesus say? He said, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith, yeah. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So the apostles thought they needed more faith, but Jesus said to them, if you had faith, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up and be uprooted. So faith, it's not the quantity. It's taking the faith. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when faith comes, what does that mean? You believe something. Faith acts on what it believes. Because otherwise, James said, faith without action, without a corresponding action, is dead. See, you could believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, he was raised from the dead, and you don't say it with your mouth. I have a newsflash for you. You won't see heaven. You can believe Jesus is Lord, but don't say it with your mouth. I'll give you another example, a natural example. You could say, I believe marriage is wonderful, but you never do anything. You could believe in the institution. You could believe in marriage, but you go, not for me. And you never are married, but you believe in it. It's the same thing. You could believe that Jesus is the Christ. You could believe that Jesus came to this earth. But you could not confess him as your Savior. See? You can believe something, but you have to confess it for me. He's my Savior. And that's the point that Jesus is saying here. He said, if you believed, you might say, what does that mean? If you were so convinced of something, you would act. What's an action? Saying something. You'd say, I believe this. And that's believing. It's an action. Faith is an act. Just turn back over to Matthew chapter 8 here for a second. What did Jesus, when Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, look at Matthew 8, what did Jesus call great faith? So we have one example. He talked about the centurion, and he said he had great faith. What was it? He believed what Jesus said, and he acted. He said something, right? That was great faith. It's what he said here. The centurion here, when you go down, the centurion came and he beseeched him. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. So Jesus said, I'm coming. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Just speak the word. See, this is faith. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's what he said to him. For I am a man. Then he began to elaborate. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And he went on. But that's the point here. When Jesus conferred upon us power in this earth, to be what? His representatives. We are the body of Christ. Whatever authority the head has, he's given it to the body. We're to lay hands on the sick. We're to cast out demons. We are to do what? We have that inward witness inside of us to help us and lead us. So don't ever say, I'm inferior. I just don't know how to do that. No. You have the inner witness. You will. What does the scripture talk about? It says you know all things. How do you know all things? Because the Holy Ghost is in you. He'll teach you. He teaches you all things. He'll show you how to do something. He'll show you how to cook if you don't know how to cook. He'll lead you how to do things that you didn't know how to do. Sometimes people think, well, God's off in heaven somewhere, and he's out there, and I'm just bumping around down here in life. He don't care about me. Things that we're concerned about, he's concerned about. And he sent us the Holy Spirit to help us in life and to do what? Reveal the truth of God's word to us. I'll tell you, it's exciting. I tell you, he'll lead you to the best deals. I'm thinking about one time I was sitting in my office, and the Holy Spirit, I just heard it down here. Go over to Men's Warehouse. I'm not trying to promote them, because I wasn't trying to go there. I was just sitting in my office, and this was my response. See, this is why sometimes we should not ignore these things. I'm a tither. So I expect to be blessed. I expect to know where to get the best things at the best price. So I'm sitting in my office. He said, go to Men's Warehouse. And this was my response. I don't want to go to Men's Warehouse. I got enough clothes. I did. I just said, I'm not interested. So finally, I just kept getting it. And I said, okay, I'll go. I'll play along. That was my thought. I'll play along. So I go over there, and of course, you know, I've been in and out of there a few times, and so the salesman said, hey, da da da. He said, we have a sale. I thought, a sale? Really? He said, we've got these sport coats. They're $100 if you buy two, you know, and I thought, $200, that's pretty good. So I looked at the price of these two coats. They were cashmere, $800 each. I said, this is what I'm talking about. I had no interest in going, but the Holy Ghost said, go over there. I got something special for you. I remember another time, he said, go to Macy's. I don't want to go to Macy's. So I did. I fussed the whole time over there. Maybe it's easier for you, but for me it was like, I got enough stuff in the closet. I don't want any more. I'm happy with what I have. So I went over there and I'm like, okay, I'm looking around. pull this suit up. Okay, this is nice. And I pulled it up and I went, that's got to be a mistake. It said $40 on it. And it was a $400 suit. I'm serious. I thought they must have left a zero off. So I called the sales lady over. And I said, is this a mistake? Is there something wrong? Is it cut, mess, something? She said, no, that's it. It's just marked down. So you know what I did? No, I put it back in the rack because I said, if God wants me to have it, it'll be there tomorrow. Because I just said, eh, it'll be, if it's mine, it'll be there tomorrow. And it was, so I bought it. The next day I bought it. But all I'm saying is, I'm not trying to show you my shortcomings here. that was not the intent. But the point was that God will lead us, if we'll just listen, he'll lead us to buy the best house, the best cars, the best clothes, if you believe him for it. If you say, I believe God's leading me to buy the best houses, the best cars, the best clothes, he will show me. You've got to do what? Believe that? Thank you. And say it. Because if you don't say it, then you really don't believe it. It's mental. You've got to believe it in your heart that God cares enough for me to prosper me in every area of my life. Every area. I mean, I've heard so many ministers talk about how God prospered them in certain areas and they weren't looking for it. God, just because they did his work, he opened a door for them to bless them, and then they turned around and sold it for a profit and made more money so that they could be a blessing somewhere else in the church. And I'm convinced of it. I really am. So let's take a look. I'm trying to close up here. Let's take a look at Titus, or actually Philemon 1. Let's go to Philemon. If you don't know where that is, it's, look in your index. You look it up. But that's easy. Most people have smartphones now, so it's real simple. Philemon chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 6. It says that the communication of what? Thy faith may become what? Effectual. This word effectual, actually the Greek word means energeo, it means energy. It means something is made energized and activated. By how? By you, by the communication of your faith. Something you say, something you speak. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Let me get there. And verse 8, Titus 3:8. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou do what? Affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men. These things are good and profitable unto men. But this is saying here, we need to do what? Affirm constantly something. What is that something? It says that we speak and do what? Say what we believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and what? Therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So what we believe, we must speak. We must say. We must speak and say. I'll share a little life thing just quickly, and then I have another little excerpt to read. I remember years ago, when I first got saved, healing and health was very interested. I was interested in words, and so I began to believe and to confess with my mouth constantly that I've been redeemed. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon thee. Whose own self, 1 Peter 2:24. I'm just quoting these scriptures, making a part of my daily life. And I walked in health. Now you can violate natural laws, but I walked in health. And so I was sowing my tithe and excess into the church. And it says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. With the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I was not in the natural seeing the abundance of my giving. And I began to think in my mind, how come I'm not seeing this? Why am I not seeing this? I began to question the word of God. I began to question what God's word said. And so in a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said this, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So he was basically saying, I've given you a blank check. Fill it in with your mouth. So I was not doing that. I mean, when he spoke that, I was like, I took a big gasp. I went, oh, I'm the problem. I did. I was honest. I said, oh my God, I'm the one. And he said it to me in a way that I'd get it. He knew I was working the word in the area of healing, and I was healthy and whole. But I wasn't in my finances. Why? Because I didn't believe, and I wasn't saying. In other words, I was going through, I need to bring in my tithe into the storehouse. So I was doing that. Bucket would go by, I'd put the money in, and I'd say, praise God. But I never said with my mouth, I believe that the seed that I've just planted will come up and produce an abundant harvest for me. I never did that. And I wasn't doing it on a consistent basis. So I wasn't reaping the benefits with my mouth. I was just going through the motions. Yeah, I believe. But I wasn't saying it with my mouth. You know, a lot of times people, this is what the scripture is very clear in Proverbs 4. It says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all thy flesh. And then it goes on and says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So if you keep saying with your mouth, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. We don't have the money to do that. We can't do that. We can't go there. We can't do that. We just can't. We can't afford that. 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 And after a while, you'll say it so much that you put into motion, you can't afford it. And you will begin to see everything in a perspective, we can't do that. And you'll literally begin to do what? Believe that you can't. And everything will look like it's impossible. Because you've said it so much that you've literally set boundaries in your life. That we can't do that. And you tell your kids, we can't go there. We can't go there. We can't afford that. We just can't do that. Now here's the thing. In the natural, you may not be able to. Just don't say it. You begin to say with your mouth, what does Charles Capps always used to say this? He said, if you want the dog to come, call the dog. Don't call the cat. It sounds funny, but if the dog ain't there, you call what's not there to come. He said, if the dog ain't there, you call the dog. If you don't have money, you don't say what you have, you say what you don't have. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. What gives me the license and the right to call those things into my existence is because it's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And he said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And not only that, you go back into Deuteronomy and you go back over into Isaiah and it talks about himself took my sicknesses and my infirmities. So I have a right to begin to say with my mouth, my body is healed, my body's whole. Now see, your body may not be. Your body may be sick. It may be infirmed. Don't say what you have. Say what's been promised. Say the word of God. Plant the seed of healing in your spirit. Plant the seed of wisdom in your spirit. Begin to say, I have the wisdom of God. He's going to show me how to walk and be prosperous in life. You begin to say those things. Did I say it was easy walking through tough situations? No, it's not easy because pressure's going to come. Things are going to happen. You're going to say, do this, do this. And your life is in front of you. So you're walking through life, but you've got to do what? Feed. Here's what happens. When you spend more time in here, then this becomes bigger than your obstacle. But when you spend less time in here, what did the word say? Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So when you don't spend as much time in here, then your obstacle looks bigger than this. It looks bigger than his promise. And so, when we keep putting the word of God in our hearts, plant the seed of God's word, which does what? Gives me wisdom. Gives me health. Gives me prosperity. Begin to say with your mouth, God leads me into all good things in life. God leads me to know what to do, what choices to make. I'm telling you, I've lived like this. And it you know, as Brother Hagin used to say, I double dog dare you to do it. Now, I'm going to read one thing and close here. This came out of a book. It's called The Power of Spoken Faith. It's actually a book. I have a lot of these little books I've purchased through the years. But this was by an author by the name of E.W. Kenyon. And he wrote this book, The Power of Spoken Faith. He co-authored with another person called Don Gossett, G-O-S-S-E-T-T. But let me just read this because this is a very interesting observation. These men lived back in the turn of the century. We need to learn from their experiences. This is what he said. Our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. Continual affirmation has infinite value. Continual confirmation has infinite value. Now, this is what he wrote. This is powerful. He said, the thing that made Methodism, talking about the Methodists now, he said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. They continually affirmed. They continually confessed what he stood for. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. They stopped declaring who they were in Christ. They stopped declaring and affirming who they were before the Father. And he said, what made that movement so mighty was a continual confession of what Mr. Wesley stood for. In other words, what he was teaching in that movement. It wasn't that it was anti-God. He was teaching some things in the Methodist movement. But he said when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. And so that's why when we want to grow in a particular area, we need to do what? Feed on the word of God. When faith comes, we need to do what? Affirm it, confess it, say it. I am blessed. I'm quick. I'm sharp. I'm bright. Stop saying, you know what happens when you get over 60? No, tell me. And then when you tell me, I'll say, well, if you say so. If you say so, not me. I'm bright. I'm quick. I'm strong. I'm healthy. Keep speaking. Here's what happens. When you make these continual affirmations, you give God, and by his Spirit, license now. You open the door for him to lead you to fulfill that. Because when you talk about, I'm broke, we don't have any money, then what happens is now you open the door to fulfill that. You'll start making bad choices. You'll start making choices that will do what? Continually keep you broke and stuck. But now when you confess something else where your health and your prosperity is concerned, you give God the right now to get in your life, as they say, in your business. And he may say, don't eat that anymore. I want you to exercise. I want you to go to sleep earlier. I want you to do this. I want you to invest in this. I want you to do this. Because now you are doing what? You're declaring with your mouth, this is the way it's going to be in my life. I'm not poor. I'm not broke. I'm not restricted. I'm not limited. Because what did Jesus say? Let's close with this. Let's remind ourselves. In in Matthew, he said, if you had faith, he said, all things are what? Possible to those who do what? Believe. That's the point. All things are possible if you believe and you speak it. Praise God.